But first, we return to a conflict where real diplomacy is very much absent. The plane carrying Russian tourists that broke up in mid-air Saturday over Egypt has become part of the propaganda war in the Syrian civil war, even if the cause of the crash is still officially unknown. The crash killed all 224 people on board. The plane was a Metrojet, a Russian tourist charter. The plane owned by an Irish-based leasing company.
The Airbus A320 is a highly reliable aeroplane, and so-called protection is built into its control system. This does not allow the plane to accelerate to the point of a high G effect, even in the event of errors in the pilot's piloting technique. So the only explicable reason for the plane to have been destroyed in mid-air can be impact, a purely mechanical, physical influence on the aircraft.
That is pilot Alexander Smirnov, who's a Metrojet executive on Russian media, disputing Russian government claims that there might have been something wrong with the Airbus. The targeting of Russians could be a sign that opposition forces in Syria are answering with violence Russia's decision to enter the conflict, or it could remain a mystery. The plane came down while flying at cruising altitude over Egypt's Sinai Desert, where Egyptian military and security forces have been battling militants for years. Rukmini Kalamachi is foreign correspondent specializing in terrorism for The New York Times, currently in Iraq. She covers al-Qaeda and ISIS. Rukmini, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me, John.
What do we know at this point about this plane's possible encounter with some of the unrest that you've covered for years?
So we know at this point that the Islamic State's province in the Sinai, it's called Wilayat Sinai, has claimed responsibility for downing the plane. They've put out a statement in Arabic. It was put out several hours after the crash of the flight. And unusually, they then translated that statement into half a dozen languages. It was put out again in French, in German, in Turkish, in a language that people online said was either Croatian or Bosniak, and then in a language that has not yet been identified. So about six languages, six different statements, all claiming responsibility for it, which in and of itself is unusual. When they claim responsibility for an attack, it's usually just one statement. So they seem to really be insisting on it. Now, whether or not they actually have done this, we don't know, and it's too early to tell.
Now, the official statements on this are not saying anything other than it was an external influence of some sort, that this plane did not have a malfunction, at least as far as they can tell. How do the official statements jive with what people are saying in Iraq, where you are right now, in terms of this being a part of the war, even aside from the claim of responsibility?
Right. So what we know from our colleagues in Russia right now is that officials have said so far that there's no pilot error, that there's no sign of a technical failure, and finally that the debris was found in a very large radius, which suggests that the plane came apart in the air. Now, the Islamic State is, of course, eager to capitalize on this, whether or not they have actually downed the plane themselves. And so they've very aggressively come out and said that they are responsible for taking it down, and that very much plays to their base. You know, this is a Russian plane at a moment in time when Russia has entered the conflict in Syria and Iraq with airstrikes. And so it's a very convenient matchup of goals here.
Well, there's certainly been some dispute in Washington as to whether the Russians were serious about fighting ISIS. This would seem to bolster the Russians' claims that they are serious about it. Were there any warnings from ISIS that Russia will pay for its recent involvement in airstrikes and even reports of soldiers on the ground in Syria?
There's been plenty of traffic on Twitter by ISIS supporters showing alleged images of Russian atrocities, you know, pictures of civilians who are dead, who they claim were killed in Russian airstrikes. So there's been a bit of a buildup. But as far as I know, I've not seen any official statements warning Russia.
In strategic terms, and again, we get into speculative territory, and you're with our partner, The New York Times. I don't like to drag you into these places, but you sort of have an expertise that I want to probe if we can. It would be consistent with ISIS's strategy in the past to use an attack like this to pull Russia further into the conflict as opposed to trying to actually get it out of the conflict, wouldn't you say? Or am I stepping too far here?
I think it is consistent with the idea that these jihadist groups very much want the West to put boots on the ground. They have been trying to get the United States involved in the conflict for months. Their signature publication, Dabiq, refers to a town in Syria that is referenced in Quranic scripture, which marks the place of a battle between Muslims in antiquity and the Crusaders. And so they very much want the West to be dragged in. They believe that that will fulfill this prophecy that they believe in, that the moment when the so-called Crusaders enter this war theater in what they call Sham in Syria and Iraq, that that will mark the beginning of their demise. So yes, I think they very much want Russia, even though they are warning Russia. On the other hand, this plays into their hand that Russia is now involved in the conflict.
And may likely carry out counterstrikes in response to this plane being brought down. Tell me a little bit about this territory in Sinai that ISIS claims for its own.
This is a territory that has been lawless for many years in a part of Egypt. And in addition to ISIS, which now claims a province in that area, there is an unofficial affiliate of Al-Qaeda that has been active there since 2013. And ironically, they just put out a new video just a couple days ago, reasserting, you know, their presence in that area. It's also an area that is known to have a lot of traffic of arms, and I've heard it said that militants in Gaza have resupplied themselves through arms that are trafficked through the Sinai. It's one of these textbook cases of an ungoverned space that has become a harbor for these jihadist groups.
Once again, a sign in this Russian airliner tragedy of the power of ISIS. Rukmini Callimachi, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, John.